Appreciate it, Dave. Thanks for giving me a little extra time, too. So. Yeah, I'm really surprised we're keeping on time with all the extension people in here. So, as Dave mentioned, my name is Jeremy Ross. I'll be talking about kind of our Yale contest. Hearing a lot of similar trends between the different states, and you'll probably see that in my presentation when we go through it. But I'll kind of give a little background on it and then eventually get into some of the Yale data and some of the trends and some of the things we're seeing out of the Yale contest. Our board is funded by, or our program is funded by the Arkansas Soybean Promotion Board, and then is administrated by our association. And really my main role in the contest is really verifying the yields at the end of the season. So our association does a really good job on sending out the announcements and the entry forms, and then they collect the harvest information. And then they pass that on to me, and we have some associates that, you know, then enter that data, all the agronomic data and yield data and things like that. So really my role is probably not as extensive as some of the others that have given presentations today, but I'm kind of the main one to verify all the yields at the end of the season. Our program started in 1999, and it's kind of had several iterations on different things changing in the program, kind of like you saw with the David's program. 2007, I actually started in 2007, and we were hearing a lot of talk from Missouri with the Kip Cullors and some of the high yields he was looking at, and so that kind of spurred on this program. And so it was changed to Grow for the Green, the Yield Challenge itself. And so the Grow for the Green Challenge, you had to be a member of the association to enter that program. But during that same year, we also added the Race for 100. And that was open to any farmer in the state. You didn't have to be an association member, opened up to any soybean producer. And the challenge was for the first producer to hit 100 bushels would be, you know, in that top tier. In 2011, and up until 2011, the entire state was just kind of grouped as one group. We didn't have any, you know, divisions or any kind of categories. It was just a straight yield challenge. And so the problems we saw was the southern producers mainly get planted, you know, mid-April to early May. And therefore their harvest, you know, is going to be somewhere, you know, a little bit earlier than most of the producers up in the northeast corner of the state. And so we'd start hearing these pretty nice yields coming out of the southern part of the state. And the northern guys would say, there's no way I'm going to be able to beat that. And so we started seeing a trend of, you know, kind of concentrated producers in the southern part of the state submitting yields, but we were lacking a lot of yields in the northern part of the state because they were hearing, you know, good yields coming out of the southern part of the state. They said they couldn't get those, and so they wouldn't enter. So we were kind of, you know, unbalanced on a lot of the entries we had. So in 2011, we decided to kind of break it up into different production systems, early season, and that was anything planted prior to April 20th. Full season is our typical production in Arkansas, and then our double crop production systems. Really still didn't see a whole lot of, you know, still kind of disjointed on a lot of the entries, and so again, we kind of divided it up again in 2013. Into geographical regions, and we've actually gotten a lot more responses, a lot more entries when we kind of did this division. And it's kind of, you know, neighbors are kind of against neighbors in these divisions, and I'll show a map in a little bit kind of these divisions, but, you know, the guys in the northeast corner of the state are still, you know, they're kind of competing against their neighbors and not having to worry about, you know, working or competing with the growers in the southern part of the state. Field criteria, you know, had to be within the boundaries of the Arkansas. We heard about ethics and things like that. You know, when we started the Grow for the Green and the Race for 100, we've had to kind of adapt over the years because, you know, we've got a committee that sits down and kind of comes up with the rules and regulations, and it always seems every year somebody tries to push those rules. And so every year we're always trying to change those rules to make sure, especially when I talk about how much money, you know, we've been dealing with, when you're talking about that much money, you know, it kind of gets pretty gray every once in a while. So we really try to stay on top of those rules to make sure everything looks good. So we're limited to one producer per division in one field. Harvest area is a minimum of 5 continuous acres and no more than 7. The main reason we kind of did that smaller, you know, 5 to 7 is if you did break 100, you can at least get that on one truckload. We didn't want to break up two, you know, have two trucks going to the granary and trying to, you know, double dip or looking at different numbers. We want to try to maintain it to just one truckload. Harvest area must have 4 straight up sides and 4 right angles, so it can be a square or a rectangle. And then fields, the main one, and we kind of had to deal with this issue 2 years ago. Fields must have been planted within at least one of the last 3 years to soybeans and appropriate checkoff paid, and that's just because the promotion board is paying for this particular program. Once we get the harvest yield contest rules, harvest soybeans must meet minimum federal grain quality standards. We do require original tickets with moisture and foreign matter on the tickets. We don't allow farmers just to use their own scales. You know, if they have their own farm storage, we still require them to go to an elevator where it has certified scales to get those tickets. The big part that Extension and University of Arkansas plays in this is the approved contestant officials. We started out very early mandating that there has to be at least 3 officials at any given time. The primary, we really want them to be the local county agent. He can then solicit either an additional, you know, county agent or two, a consultant that does not work for that producer, a banker, a mortgage lender, anything like that. But you know, we really try to have our county agents involved in this and be the main person that's out there watching the farm being harvested and then riding a truck with the farmer or his hired hand to get those yields and weigh tickets. But as I mentioned, if you are employed by the farmer, you're ineligible to be an approved contest official. And then once we at the year end of the harvest, we gain obtain a 1-pound grain sample, and we just kind of keep that along just kind of for proof of foreign material and other things like that. When we talk about prize money and awards, early in the contest back in the 90s and early 2000s, a lot of the sponsorship was private companies and dealerships. Some of the early winners would receive, you know, several hundred hours on a tractor and you know, a free, you know, pallet of seed from different individual companies. But when the Soybean Promotion Board kind of took over, the sponsorship from the private companies and the dealerships kind of went away. And so now it's just mainly a cash reward. But, you know, as several people have mentioned, you know, all these, you know, all farmers are inundated with companies coming in and saying, you know, use my product or, you know, use my variety. And so it's kind of an added benefit or, you know, in some cases a detriment to some of these farmers. Some of these companies come in and then, you know, have them come speak at, you know, different meetings and pay for their travel and other things like that and some endorsements. So currently, right now, first place in each of, and I'll get to the divisions here in a minute, but we give out the top 3 places, $7,500 for first place, $5,000 for second place, and $2,500 for third place. When the Race for 100 contest was started back in 2007, it took us, you know, till 2013 before we finally broke that 100 bushel mark. And so I was assuming that, you know, there were several years I thought we'd be able to hit that. We had some pretty high, you know, upper 90s on the yields between 2007 and 2013, but it took us till 2013 before we finally broke it. And when we did, we had 3 producers in 2013 that broke that 100 bushel mark. And so the Soybean Board initially put out $50,000 for the first person to break it, and since 3 won it, we had to split that out 3 different ways. In addition to the divisions, an overall state winner will win an additional $10,000, and so, you know, if he can win his division, and then he can win the overall state winner. Now, if a producer breaks a 100-bushel mark, now they've reduced the money. It's just $5,000. And again, if we have multiple winners during that year, they'll have to split that $5,000. A new challenge that they this year was the first year for it was the 120 by 2020 yield challenge. Now we're trying to push that mark and looking at, you know, trying to hit that 120-bushel mark. As opposed to that 100-bushel mark, and there's $10,000 available for it if somebody is able to do that. This is, excuse me, an entry form that is sent out. We use a lot of advertisement, Delta Farm Press, and mailers, and I get a slew of these that I hand out at different meetings throughout the spring. And so, just like with any contest. We probably have a lot more enter the program as opposed to turning in harvest data. And so, and I'll get to some of that data in a little bit, but I think this past year in 2014, we had about 120 farmers entered the program at the deadline in August. But once we finally got by the December 1st of last year, we only had about 58 or so entries. And so there's still, a lot more people, say they're interested early in the season, but then when it comes down to it, we don't have near as many people give us harvest information, harvest data as we'd like to see. And so as I mentioned, 2013, we divided the state up into the divisions, and me and an economist and a couple others kind of sat down and kind of looked at the different regions in the state. And so if you're not familiar with Arkansas, 95% of our row crop production is in the eastern side of the state. We have some production up into Arkansas River Valley, and then down in the three counties in the southwest corner of the state. Those two regions only make up about 5% of the total row crop area. So when you're really dealing with row crop production in Arkansas, you're talking about the eastern side of the state. And so when we look at the different regions, the Northeast Delta, East Central, and Southwestern Delta are typically our cotton soils, where cotton historically has been. Northeast, the White River Basin, and the Central and Grand Prairie, that's more of our rice type soil, soybean soils, things like that. And so you look at, there's eight different regions, and you can see them divided up there. The western region is probably the largest, but again, it's probably the smallest amount of row crop. It's pretty much everything on the western side of the state and the southwestern corner. And then we also have a conventional. We've got a lot of information and a lot of interest in the conventional variety, so we added a conventional division. All right. Looking at yield trends, similar to what others have shown, the green line is the growth for the green since the 99 to 2014. We're gaining about right at one bushel an acre compared to our state average, which is similar to that. But again, you can see the growth for the green is quite a bit higher than our state average. Looking at trends, and I wasn't able, due to time and everything, wasn't able to get all the information on here. But some of the trends that we're seeing, 85% of the soybean acreage in Arkansas is irrigated, so you see a lot of irrigation numbers, and depending on the year, those are going to fluctuate. You can see the year number of participants, the average yield in the contest that given year, average planting date, irrigation, and then the number of insecticide applications, for the individual years. And you can see is with trends, insecticide, fungicide applications tend to increase from the beginning. I've kind of divided out the 2011, 2012, looking at our early season, full season, a double crop, and you can see those numbers there. But really kind of focusing on to wrap up, what I've got left. 2013, 2014, we really started picking up the number of entries. 2013, 58 entries that submitted. But you look at the number of insecticide and fungicide applications, 46 of those 58 contestants applied an insecticide application during 2013, and 52 participants out of the 58 applied a fungicide. And so that trend seems like, you know, we're seeing more and more inputs. Those guys are really pushing those inputs and using more and more insecticide and fungicide applications. So real quick, talking about our winters, we've had the last 3 years. 2013, we had three. Nelson Crow was the first one to harvest. Came in right at 100 bushels an acre. Matt Miles and Eddie Tackett, and I have to mention, Eddie Tackett is the only producer that's up in the Arkansas River Valley. All the other contestants are in the south eastern corner of the state, down in that cotton topsoil. Really, the main difference between, you know, what our normal producers are doing and what the 100 bushel winters are doing is the planting dates. They're going extremely early. They're using, you know, probably earlier maturing varieties than we recommend. Some of the good things I like to kind of brag about is they are, you know, looking at a lot of our recommendations and following those, and you can see that with the seeding rates. Row spacing, you know, we've got a lot of work saying narrow row spacings in 30 inches is producing high yields, but you can see that four out of the six are, you know, on really wide rows, on 38-inch rows. Don't have the 2015 yield data in here, but we did have three producers. Matt Miles, again, produced 100 bushels, 108 bushels this past year, and we had the first two producers north of Interstate 40 produced 100 bushels this past year. So some of the summary yield trends in Arkansas state averages for the Grow for the Green are similar across years. Many producers follow university recommendations, which I think is very encouraging. We have increased our irrigation frequency over the years, and again, that's going to be weather dependent. We have increased our insecticide, fungicide applications, especially over the last several years. All the 100 bushel winters are on wide rows, and all of these are on silt loam soils. And other than the River Valley, Eddie Tackett, they're all on historical cotton top soils. And so they're probably some of the best soils we've got in the state right now. We are in the process of putting economic data like some of the other states are doing. And as I mentioned, in 2015, we have three additional 100 bushel winters this past year. So typical me talk, I went long. So,
well, we're a few minutes behind. I will remind you, in 15 minutes after the last talk, we will have a break, and I see the coffee's coming in now. I encourage you to come to the front. Let's thank Jeremy.